As often as ye shall do these things, in memory of me shall ye do them. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. Two men went up into the temple to pray, the gospel tells us today, and 70% of them didn't even believe that God was there, the latest pollster says, believing that the bread and wine just is a sort of a symbol. 50 years after the changes, the vast majority do not believe in the consecration of the Mass, thus fulfilling the prophecy made by Archbishop Lefebvre long ago that one who attends the Novus Ordo would eventually lose his faith. He also said that all the sacraments of the Novus Ordo are of doubtful validity, but they've forgotten that too. Now, some say that all came about, this lack of faith, because of a crisis in catechetics after the council, false teaching from grade schools all the way through seminaries, and that is certainly true. But there's more to it than the classroom. Many of you and your children, alas, have very little in the way of formal study of the faith. For one reason or another, part of it is just due to the age in which we live. And still today, getting parents to send their children and getting children to study and learn the lesson each week and to attend the class, why, that's a challenge each year. But here's the thing. You believe. Most, not all, but most do keep the faith if they keep on attending the true Mass. Why? It is the Mass itself. Now, the Mass is no class, we insist on this, but how well it teaches us. I don't mean the sermon that's over and above, but it is absolutely crucial if you're going to know the truths of the faith. And I think of how many go out of their way to avoid hearing the sermon, but they believe and they fear God. They want to hear their Mass, it's just that they don't want to give God too much, or their souls either. Just the minimum will do. Thank you. But by just coming to Mass, we, all of us, in the presence of this miracle, and what we see and what we hear in the way of reverence and of beauty, we know that at the heart of it is God's Son come down from heaven to earth at the consecration offered up to the Father and given, received on the tongue most reverently in Holy Communion. But how different is the new way? Actually, it's no Mass at all. It is not valid. And at its very best, it is a humdrum, man-centered affair. But how often it degenerates into irreverence, how often it is absolutely ridiculous. Now, Bergoglio, the ringmaster, it's his job to break down the idea of the sacred. And that is why he pointedly refuses to genuflect. He manages to get down on his knees for men, but not at Mass or benediction. In the true Mass, as soon as the priest has consecrated the precious blood, he genuflects to adore, and he whispers one more sentence, repeating the words of Christ, whereby he instituted another sacrament, that sacrament which assures all of the seven for us, I mean holy orders, by these words, as often as you shall do these things, ye shall do them in remembrance of me. Did you know, then, that by these words, our Lord ordained his apostles, bestowing on them as well the fullness of the priesthood, so that as bishops they might ordain priests after them. This is denied by the Protestants. Their heresy is answered with a thunderbolt from Trent, the Great Council of Trent. If anyone, that council taught, if anyone shall say that by the words, "Do this in commemoration of me," Christ did not constitute the apostles priests and ordain that they and other priests should offer his body and blood, let him be anathema. You have that word in the epistle. Did you see it? What does that mean, anathema? It means excommunicated. It means cursed. It means damned. We're talking serious stuff here, and very strong. And yet, in the same phrase that the priest says as he genuflects, having consecrated the chalice, there's another note which sounds far more sweet and tender. It is almost a plea, as though a father, knowing his children would grow up and away, begs them, "Remember me." This is why God gave us the third commandment, "Remember." See how it starts? "Thou keep holy the Lord's day." And the church gave us the first precept or commandment. How do we keep holy the Lord's day? To hear holy mass, chiefly on Sundays and holy days of obligation, and to keep in the measure possible these days as days of rest for the worship of God. To give to God and to get not only graces, but also the grace of a little rest. He hath care of you for church time, for family time, and for down time. Two men went up to pray. Where? To the temple. And in these two men, there's a kind of universality. The totalist idea again. Everyone's represented. There's a bad man who's wicked proud, and he thought he was good. And then there's a bad man who knew he was bad, but he went home good, justified. We have all sinned, says the apostle, all, and fallen short of the glory of God. The man who boldly stood up, as they do in the Novus Ordo, and recited his good deeds, all of them, they call that virtue signaling today. The liberals are very good at it. He's the one. And then the other is the man who bowed in the back, kept his eyes down, said his confiteor more than once, as do we, and beat his breast, as do we at Mass. They both of them went to the temple. That's where this takes place, which prefigures the church. But how tragic is it that the Catholic faith passed on from generation to generation in a family, and at such a price should be lost, that is reduced sometimes to the smallest of flames, and then one day, well, it gets blown out. The faith goes dark in that family. That it should be lost, and with it, eternal life. People forget, but not those who remember the eighth day, the Lord's day, and the holy days. But I think part of falling away has to be being stolen away. And for what? An easier life? A better life? Look again. When the world takes God out of the picture, it is not to leave man in. Oh no. It is to make man a machine, used and discarded. You are meant only to produce and to consume, an animal at best, and one who is given very little rest. We should work to live, but today, how many live to work and have, it seems, little choice in the matter? Everything conspires to steal away your time, your church time and your family time and your downtime. Society lives today by the schedule of the public schools. And in the workplace, it's a 7-day work week with overtime. And then for Sunday, well, there are Sunday sports. But God and the church command this rest as a matter of justice, to remember God and to go to worship him, and to remember a man and his need for rest. I remember as a young priest being so impressed to meet men and to get to know families who would come on the holy day because they could. They took the day off and they kept it holy. But some say that Sundays, well, that's enough, and dismiss the obligation out of hand. Lost, stolen, or strayed, the sign might read, the third commandment, the first precept. Today, almost nothing is sacred. No time, no day, no body. Nobody. Work, work, and work, compete, and strive to win. But they an imperishable crown. And what a price we pay. What say we do it the Lord's way? Remember, keep holy. Remember me. Today's American hero is Father Blaise Rodriguez, who was a Franciscan who worked in coastal Georgia with the Wali Indians for 17 years. He learned their language and taught them their catechism and not to be cannibals and to wear clothing and only one wife per customer, the basics, and also that they should work because they were on the other side of the question. And he taught them, and he almost died for this too, he taught them not to wage perpetual war, but for the warriors, that was the proof of their manhood. Has it changed very much today? He taught them as well the church or the liturgical year as a new way of life with stability, a rhythm to it, and every 8 days, the Holy Mass. Well, he ran afoul of the young new chieftain whom he had instructed and baptized, but he showed up one day with wife number two, and eventually, he being reproached, returned with 300 naked Indians in war paint. "We come to kill you," they announced in the chapel. "Do as you say," said Father Blaise Rodriguez. "But first allow me to say Mass." Curiously enough, they did, taking advantage of the time to ransack the rest of the church and the rectory. And Father took 4 hours. Imagine what a Mass that would be, knowing that after he had sacrificed the lamb, he himself would be sacrificed at the foot of the altar. But after the Mass, he made the Indians so moving a little sermon about how they had forgotten what the missionaries had done for them. They didn't remember that. And how the missionaries had taught them the way to happiness. And finally, with tears, he concluded, "There's still time. If you reject this evil, God is merciful, very merciful, and he will forgive." And moved, they spared him, and they went away. But on the third day, they thought better of it, smashed his head with a tomahawk, and the brains flowed out to the floor. Thus ended the Mass in Georgia and practically in the United States for 300 years. Without the Mass, there was no faith in our land for so long, and nobody went up to the temple to pray. Remember this. God bless you. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.